The power of God, the grace of God will provide the money you need. The grace of God will provide the clothes on your back. And hey, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6, didn't he? He said, don't take any thought. Take no thought for what you're going to wear. Take no thought for what you're going to eat. My Father, your Father, knows you have need of these things.
The key to entering into God's rest is the assurance that God, by His grace, will provide everything you need to complete the work He's called you to do. Jeremy Pearsons delivers a message today on entering His rest, next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm your host this week, Jeremy Pearsons, and it is my joy to be with you again all this week. And I want to say thank you to my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, for allowing me to sit at this table and be a part of your life, whether you're watching this early in the morning, late at night, sometime in the middle of the day. I know that we have people all over the world that are watching and listening to these broadcasts. Anytime they can get it, anytime they can get their hands on it, any way they can get a hold of it. And I know it's because there's revelation that you're hungry for. And I am too, man. And I grew up on this broadcast. I grew up watching Mimi and Pawpaw sit right here. I watched them talk to each other. I watched them talk to you and talk to me. And it's life-changing. And I know many of you have already experienced that, and you've been a part of these things, and you've watched this ministry. And I'm sure many of you are partners with other ministries like it around the world. And it's because of your partnership and your agreement and faith and your prayer that the kingdom of God is advancing. And I want to thank you for that. And I know the Lord appreciates that in you. So let's do this. Let's pray over our time together today, and we'll get right back into the Word again this week. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your Word, your precious Word towards us. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for every word of this book, not just the letters on the page, but the life that is in it, the life that we find in the words of Jesus, the life that we find in the revelation of the New Testament, and the pictures that we see painted from beginning to end of the goodness of our God. We thank you for it. Father, we praise you today. And I believe and we receive eyes that see, ears that hear, and hearts that understand everything that you have for us today. We receive it from you in Jesus' name. Amen. You in agreement with that? Let's do this. Let's get right back into where we were all last week. If you didn't see last week's broadcast, then do me a favor and do yourself a favor. Go back to kcm.org and you can search our media there, and all those broadcasts that we did Monday through Friday of last week are available to you absolutely free. Can I hear somebody say free? Yes, that's right, free. My grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria, just want to make these things available as much as we can. Just get it into your hands, because it's when it gets into your hands, in your eyes, in your ears, it gets down into your heart, and then that Word of God that's gotten in you begins to come out of you. That's when it brings change into your life. It's God's words coming out of your mouth. And there's creative power, the same creative power that He released when He spoke these worlds into existence. He put on the inside of you, and He put it on the inside of me to change the world that we live in. Amen? Let's begin back with Mark chapter 6, then we'll go to Matthew chapter 11. We'll get caught up quickly on where we've been over these last several days, all of last week, and then we'll launch back into this week. Mark chapter 6, if you remember, we looked at verse 7. It said, He, Jesus, called to Himself the 12. He called the 12 to Himself and began to send them out two by two, and He gave them power over unclean spirits. And this was important all last week. We are learning to identify, learning to recognize grace when we see it. Grace is anything that's a gift. That word grace and that word gift often are the same Greek word, and that same word gets translated grace, it gets translated gift. When Paul wrote to Timothy and said, don't neglect the gift that's in you, stir up the gift that's in you, it's all the same word. It's grace. Anything that you recognize as a gift, something that came to you free of charge, you didn't pay for it, you didn't earn it, you didn't work for it, but it was a gift from God to you, then you recognize that as grace. That's grace. So it's not just I was saved by grace, but what all came in that salvation? What all came in that salvation package, if you will? Man, the healing of your body is in that. The restoration and peace of your mind is in that. The deliverance from sin, sickness, and disease, all of that that's in salvation is grace because it's a gift. You didn't work for it. You didn't earn it. Romans chapter 4 tells us if it was by our works, then it would have been debt. If you work for this, God would have had to say, hey, I owe this to you. But how many of you know He didn't owe you what He gave you? No, that came out of His overwhelming, all-encompassing love for you. You are so loved. You are dearly loved. Scripture says you are loved with an everlasting love. Praise God. That's grace coming to you, a gift from God to you. Now, the other way we recognize grace, if you remember, is we see it as not only a gift, but a gift from God to you through Jesus. Anything that comes to you through Jesus is grace. John chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, talk about how grace came through Jesus. So when you see Jesus calling His 12 disciples to Him, and then He sends them out, it says He sent them out two by two and gave them power. That power over unclean spirits, that was grace. That was grace that He was sending them out by, and it's grace that He's sending you out by. It's grace that put me at this table today. It's grace that puts me on a platform, or my wife and I, when we travel to churches, it's grace that puts us there, because we're not ministering under our own power, we're ministering under His. Amen? So it's grace that sent them out. It's grace because He gave it to them. So you see, Jesus has graced these disciples with power over unclean spirits. And then He told them, don't take anything with you, no money, no staff, no bag, no bread. Now, that wasn't because He's trying to keep them poor. What He's doing is He's teaching them in these early days of their ministry, of Him sending them out. He's saying, don't take all this stuff with you because the power that I'm giving you will provide the rest of that. Do you see that? Do you see He's saying, I don't want you dependent on anything but My grace. I don't want you depending on anything but the power that I'm sending you with. Because the power of God, the grace of God will provide the money you need. The grace of God will provide the clothes on your back. And hey, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6, didn't He? He said, don't take any thought. Take no thought for what you're going to wear. Take no thought for what you're going to eat. My Father, your Father, knows you have need of these things. And what's it His desire to do? When you seek the kingdom of God, He adds these things to you. Or He gives you, graces you with everything you need to eat, everything you need to wear. He knows exactly what you have need of. So don't take that care on yourself. That's what Jesus is telling these disciples. Now, we fast forward to verse 30, and we find where all these disciples now come running home to Jesus. And it says the apostles now, they were disciples, but because they got sent, because grace sent them, now they're apostles. You know, that's what that word apostle means, a sent one. So now that they've been sent, they're coming home as apostles, and they gathered to Jesus and told Him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. So here's this group of guys all giddy and excited because, hey man, it worked. We'd seen Jesus do this. We saw Jesus lay hands on the sick and they recovered. We saw Jesus cast out demons, but now He's telling us to go do it? Well, we'll see about this, but when they go out with His power, they come home with testimonies. They come home with stories of miraculous examples of how people were born again and set free under their ministry, under them releasing that same grace and power that had been given to them. So, they come home all excited, but I want you to see what Jesus said. Verse 31, He said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. Come aside by yourself to a deserted place and rest. The same Son of God that sent them into their ministry is now calling them away to rest. Do you recognize Him when He's telling you those two things? There have been many people sold out to the kingdom of God, absolutely dedicated to the work of the kingdom, and have given life and limb for it because they heard that call. I think of stories. I think of my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, the ones that you know and have come to love. They sit, like I said, at this table, and they do it day in and day out. Why? Because the demand of the Spirit of God on the inside that says the people of the world must hear the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. They heard that over 40 years ago, and they've been giving everything ever since then. And there are others, generations past, that have heard those same words. They've heard the call of God echo in the chambers of their heart, and they responded in faith. And listen, I've heard that. My family has heard that. Many of you have heard that. And it's exciting, man. It's exciting to know that you're called. But do you hear, do you also hear the same one that called you? Do you hear him call you away at times to rest? I'm not talking to you about trying to live in a place where you don't ever have to do anything anymore and, hey, all my work's done and I don't have to preach, I don't have to pray, I don't have to go to a job. That's not what I'm trying to tell you, all right? So before you misunderstand what I'm saying, hear this through the Word. All I'm saying to you is that the Spirit of God, the same Spirit of God that leads you into ministry, at times will lead you into a place of rest. Why? Because your body needs that. Your soul needs that. As a matter of fact, I mentioned that to you last week. We looked at Psalm 23, where that beautiful picture of rest. He is my good shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. If you look at these verses in Mark 6, we won't take a lot of time here, but go read over some of these verses, verse 14 through 29. We didn't take time to read that, but I want you to notice something that happened. Jesus had heard the news that John the Baptist, his cousin, his partner in ministry, the one that was called to prepare the way for him, this man who he had relationship with beyond a natural relationship. There's a strong connection between these two. And Jesus had received news that John the Baptist had been brutally, unjustly murdered at the hands of King Herod. Now, I want you to notice something, and you see this in other gospel accounts. When Jesus heard that news, his response to it was to go find a place, a deserted place. That's his response here. All of these things are going on at the same time. The disciples are coming home. The apostles are coming back. They've had miraculous ministry. But at the same time, Jesus gets dealt this huge blow that John the Baptist has been murdered. Now, what do you do with this? What I want you to see here is Jesus' response to all of it. Jesus' response is not this cold, stoic, unemotional response. Remember, Jesus is a man. Jesus did what he did, said what he said. His life and ministry was a man here on this earth. And guess what? As a man, he is spirit, soul, and body. So if Jesus has a soul, then he's got mind, will, and emotions. And I guarantee you, when that blow came to him that said John the Baptist has been murdered, guess what? That's going to take some soul work. Think about it. You've been in a situation like that where you've been dealt some kind of news that just rocked your world, that just tried to shake the foundation under your feet. What's the proper response here? There are people that try to muster up some sort of fake courage or something, and I can't let them see me cry, and I don't want them to see me sweat. What did Jesus do? What was his response? His response was, I need to get alone. I need to go get quiet. I need to find a place. Why? Because according to Psalm 23, the soul must be restored. And when news like that hits you, or you deal with things like that in your family, on the job, in situations and circumstances around you, you need to know, when is it time to step up to this thing, and when is it time to find my quiet place and rest? Because in that place of quiet with the Lord, He restores and rebuilds and reconstructs your soul. God is not expecting you to just live day in and day out and live with some sort of unending supply of emotion. You know that, and I know that. It is His desire, based on the Word, to refill, to re-satisfy, to encourage that soul. And it's when you get into that quiet place and you let the Lord begin to do that in you. So I wanted you to see that in Mark chapter 6, that even Jesus needs a place where He can go and be with the Father. If He needs that, hey, you need that. If Jesus needs time away with the Father, you need time away with the Father. I need this quiet time. I don't want you to lose sight of Mark chapter 6, because as the week goes on, we'll come back to it. Let's remind ourselves of Matthew chapter 11 now. And Jesus, in verse 25, it says, "At that time Jesus answered and said." Now, if you weren't with us, let me remind you of this. When it says "at that time," you go do a little study, you find out what was going on here. It says at that epochal moment. That word is found in the expanded translation of the New Testament by Kenneth Wiest, W-U-E-S-T. That's a translation that I've come to really enjoy because it just unpacks this language for you, and you find out what's really going on here. And that translation says, at that epochal and strategic moment in time. Remember, the word epochal means the start of a new era, the beginning of a new development. So whatever Jesus said from that moment in time on was the beginning of a new development. And in verse 28, here's the new development. Oh, this is good news for you and me. "Come to me," He said, "all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let me read this to you out of the Message translation. He says, "Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion?" That's the Message translation of this. Are you tired? Now, I could ask for a show of hands right now, but how many of you are tired, worn out, burned out on religion? And Jesus says there's an answer to it. "Come to me. Come to me. Get away with me," He says, "and you'll recover life. I'll show you how to take a real rest." So Jesus is introducing this new strategic moment in time. This is the beginning of a new development, a new era. The old era, where you had to work for it and earn it, is over. And now we're living in the day of rest, the day of grace, that seventh day that God blessed. He sanctified it and He called it holy. Why? Because days 1 through 6 were good work, good work, good work. And now that the good work has been accomplished, it's time to rest. And Jesus accomplished the good work for you and I. Now let's move forward in this. It was important for us to recap some of these things. Go with me now to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. And we're going to look deeper at this. We've talked about now living in this place of rest. We're no longer trying to combine grace, because Jesus, if He gave you rest, then that's grace coming to you. Anything that's a gift from God to you through Jesus, you can identify as grace. You can identify it as a gift. So your salvation was a gift. Your forgiveness is a gift. But listen, your rest is a gift from Him. Your victory in this life, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. There's your gift again. What is the gift? Victory. How did it come? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, that's grace. The rest that you and I now take, no longer working for our salvation, but resting in it, that's grace. We've talked about living in that place. Not moving in and out of it, not trying to combine the two, not resting for our salvation, but working for our healing. Those things don't work. If it's by grace you're saved, then it's by grace you're healed. If it's by grace you're forgiven, then it's by grace that you've been made victorious over sin. Now that we've established these things, let's begin in the last few moments here to talk about keys to entering into that. Because now we know that this place called rest, this land called rest, we know that it exists. We know that it's there for us, but how do we enter into it? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it." Listen to verse 2. "For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them." Now, who's them? He's referring to the children of Israel that came out of the land of Egypt in the book of Exodus. He's saying the gospel was preached to them. Now, the gospel we know is the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what was the good news that was preached to them? It says the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them. What were they hearing? What were these children of Israel? What gospel, good news was being preached to them? They were being told, hey, there's a land of rest that's waiting for you. They were being told, you've been slaves in Egypt. You have literally carried bricks on your shoulders. And now there's a place that exists for you. It's a place that flows with milk and honey. It's a land of rest, Canaan land. And that was being preached to them over and over. And man, Moses was preaching it to them. God was leading them to that land of rest. But look at this. It didn't profit them. Now, is that sad or what? To have lived for generations under slavery and in bondage with the heavy weight and the rule of another nation over them, and now the gospel, the good news is being preached saying, there's a land of rest for you, but why didn't it profit? Why didn't it do them any good to hear that good news? Because in verse 2 it says it didn't profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. That good news of a land of rest that was waiting for them, that promised land of rest, it did them no good. Why? Because it wasn't mixed with faith. We have been talking about the resting side of faith. Did you know there's a resting side to your faith? Well, I thought the faith was a fight. It is, and we'll get into that. I thought my faith was a confession. It is. But your confession needs to come out of what you believe in, what you rest in, what you know to be true about God. And he's saying this did not profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith. And then he says in verse 3, for we who have believed do enter into that rest. All this week, we're going to be talking about keys to entering into this rest, but then one of the number one keys is you're a believer. You're not a doubter. And if you skip down, you find in verse 6, it says, since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of unbelief. That word unbelief could be translated as this: they were non-persuasible. They wouldn't hear it. They wouldn't believe it. The good news was being preached and they said, no, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Listen to me. Here's the good news. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor, and I will give you rest. What's step one? Believe it. Anything you find in this word, you're a believer of it, and you don't come to this place where you're non-persuasible. Don't be like that. Be a believer and not a doubter. And say this, say, oh Lord, I believe everything in your word. It's a promise to me. I'm out of time, but don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a moment.
Come to these exciting meetings. A Behind the Mission Weekend with Stephen Kelly Swisher is June 25th and 26th in Lombard, Illinois at the Weston Lombard Yorktown Center. The Copeland Family Meeting in Long Beach, California is July 8th through 10th, 2010. Come and meet the family, George and Terry Pearsons, Stephen Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland, and Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons at the Long Beach Convention Center. For more information, go to kcm.org. Have you looked at your schedule lately? Pretty busy, right? But what about God? There is a place in God where you can come away and find true rest. Experience God's Rest is a package of two practical teaching series by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland designed to help you enter into that place of rest. Don't Stress Out, Trust God by Kenneth Copeland tells you how to take anxiety and worry out of your life. God is willing and able to take care of you. Learn to trust Him and start living His way free of stress. God Can Turn It Around by Gloria Copeland gives you confidence in God's ability. He can change your circumstances and fix whatever situation you're facing. See yourself through His eyes and change the direction of your life. Experience God's rest. This package will take you from feeling stressed out to being at peace and resting in God. The Experience God's Rest package is being offered to you at a special 50% savings. Now just $20 for both CD series by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. For an additional product discount and 48-hour processing, order your package online at kcm.org. Order the Experience God's Rest package and learn the importance of making rest a priority in your life. For these and other KCM products, visit us at kcm.org.
I want you to get a hold of this rest package that the ministry is offering to you this week. Don't stress out. Trust God by Kenneth Copeland, and God Can Turn It Around by Gloria Copeland. This is a package that they have put together, and it goes right in line with what we've been talking about. And Jesus said this to us, and I referred to it earlier, but He said, take no thought. He said, stop worrying about your life. Do you know what that is? That's stress. When you wake up every day going, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? That means you're not thinking, oh, thank God for what you've already done. Thank you, Lord, for what you've already done. See, that's a mind change. That's a renewing of the mind. Get a hold of these products, and that's what they are. They're help with that. You get these, and you sit down with your Bible, and you put them together, and you let the Lord begin to speak to you. Order yours today. It's going to be a real blessing to you. Hey, listen, I want you to know that there's a lot of ways now that you can stay connected with KCM. We've got Facebook, we've got Twitter. These are just different ways that you can stay connected. If you're not sure what that is, find some kid. They'll tell you all about it. They can explain all of it to you. Or you can connect with us on our social media site, KennethCopelandMinistries.org. Now, you're familiar with KCM.org, but here's another page where you can read blogs, you can watch videos, you can read articles from our magazine, look at news releases. It's just another way for you and I to stay in touch with each other. It's a way for you to stay connected with what God is doing through KCM, through ministries like this around the world. And you've heard my grandfather say it all the time. He says, pray, listen, and obey. So when you get before the Lord, you talk to Him, but more importantly, you let Him talk to you. Now, as we continue in these things this week, He is talking to us about living in this place called rest. There are keys to entering into that, and once we enter in, we are not leaving it. This is revelation, and I believe it's straight from the throne of God, straight from His Word. It's changing the way I live life. And I believe it's changing the way you live life. I am finding my rest in Him, this life of faith, taking my place seated with Jesus. This is Jeremy Pearson's reminding you, God loves you, we love you. And as Kenneth and Gloria Copeland always say, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase this week's broadcasts on DVD or CD, go to kcm.org or call or write to us today. Be sure to join Steve and Kelly Swisher for Behind the Mission Weekend Chicago, Friday and Saturday, June 25th and 26th at the Weston Lombard Yorktown Center. For all the information on Behind the Mission Weekend Chicago, go to our website at kcm.org. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Everything that Jesus has offered, everything that God, who is love, has offered through Jesus, who is grace, has been made available to you, but it can only be received by faith.